Welcome to the Watching for Jesus program tonight. My name is Thomas Gamble. I'm the host of this program, and welcome. Tonight, I'm going to talk about several things, several issues. We're going to talk about objections when you try to witness to others about the Bible. We're going to talk about the Bible as an inerrant word of God. See how far that gets us, and then we'll go into one of my focuses is we have been exposing false teachers and deception and so forth. Well, some of their doctrine right now is this alien thing is becoming almost on the top level. It's getting serious as far as trying to get people to believe there's aliens and all that, which there isn't. It's going to be major. And a lot of people that's watching Dancing with the Stars and all these other programs, this pre-scripted TV and whatever, they're going to be in for a complete and total shock because they have no idea what's coming their way like a train. You know, and the Malaysia flight, immigration issue, the left hand's over here and the right hand's doing something underneath the table. That's what's going on. And they never let a crisis go to waste. One crisis isn't ever for one thing. Some of you are not going to like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Titanic was a crisis. I'm not going into details on this. That's a rabbit hole. But just off the top, just so you can do your own research, the Titanic was one such crisis. 1912, 12 years after the assassination of McKinley. 12 years after the assassination of McKinley, maybe 11 years after. And not long after that was the assassination of Lindbergh's baby. And in between all that was the Jekyll Island. In 1913, after the Titanic, was the Federal Reserve Act. McKinley was against the financial dealings that was going on with the Illuminati. He is trying to put a stop to it. He's working with the Astors. And he was also family bloodline, but he was against it all. Lindbergh was grandfather, or father, but Lindbergh baby's great, or his grandfather, but Lindbergh's father was also telling America about how they were setting up the financial misdealings. Baby got killed. The warning. Titanic was maneuvered. It was really the Olympic went down, not the Titanic. Titanic was being scrapped. And they needed to change it. They're going to lose a lot of money in trying to rebuild it. To scrap it, to lose money, so they wanted to collect insurance on it. The Olympic was what went down, not the Titanic. What sailed was the Olympic. Who sailed on the Olympic? The Astors. Waldorf Astoria? They were Illuminati. And they were, although Illuminati, they weren't for this financial misdealings with the Federal Reserve coming up. They were aboard the Titanic, or the Olympic, as it was. So by killing McKinley, took care of that problem. By killing the infant child of Lindbergh was a warning. Sinking the Olympic, calling it the Titanic, not only gave them insurance money, but it also got rid of three quarters or so of the Astor family. Boy, oh boy. All they did was one night just change the labeling, the sign on the Titanic to the Olympic, Olympic to the Titanic. What said sailed was the Olympic. Look it up. They sunk it. Got the insurance. All kinds of stuff going on, man. I tell you. Same thing with the Malaysia flight. And all these folks work for the satanic secret societies. Connected to the supernatural. Control of mankind. For the time being. Everything is controlled. Everything is part of this. Now they're coming out with the Vatican and they're saying, well, we actually did corrupt the Bibles. We're letting you know it. That just came out. Someone sent it to me today. A good friend of mine sent me that. They're admitting that they've corrupted the Bibles. You see what they're doing? They're letting you know the Bible's corrupt. You know, letting you know the Vatican's corrupt. Yeah. They want you to know the Illuminati exists. And they're the evil ones. Yeah. What does that tell you? They're going to sink them on the surface and just change the name. They want to sink the King James Bible and the Bibles. So I left them all together. And now the Vatican says, well, we did. So it discredits the Bibles. It's what they want now. For re-spiritualization of the Catholic Church means you got to kill it. You got to label it as negative. And when it happens, and those Roman Catholics and those hardcore Baptists and all these others that's been, you know, believing all they've been hearing, when you crash or sink a ship, what are you going to be looking for? A life preserver. When you sink a religion, what are you going to be looking for? A religion that's a life preserver. And they're going to provide you one. First, it's going to be religious freedom. That leads you into the second seal. And war is a way to control people. Family, they got this all set up. And the more states, 19 states, have now went to same-sex marriage. And the purpose of that was an article that came out. Man, they tell you what they're going to do. This is getting on to be ridiculous. For those of you that know, they're telling you an article I received today. I keep up with this as much as I can. Quote, are Obama and Netanyahu trying to hasten the arrival of the Messiah? I'm adding /Sananda. They're telling you what they're doing. Man, it's right out there in front of the face. People don't even pay any attention at all. Yes, they are trying to hasten the arrival of their Messiah, Yahushua, whatever his name is, Sananda Manuel, the fake Jesus. Yeah, they're trying to hasten it. They're telling you, wow, by more same-sex marriage, by legalizing abortion, by legalizing euthanasia, by legalizing drugs. Man, they're just going to hasten the arrival of the Messiah, but their fake Messiah that's going to be an alien lie. I talked about that today on the broadcast. Man, this just drives me crazy sometimes that people don't see this. Gosh almighty. And who was it got killed recently on a motorcycle like they killed Lawrence of Arabia? Oh, yeah. Lawrence of Arabia. He died on a motorcycle, right? Him and Hempler were working for the Jesuits, infiltrating into the Muslims, getting ready to set up the Muslim Brotherhood. Problem. Hempler did his job. But Lawrence of Arabia slept with him, worked with him, ate with him, fought with him. He developed a respect for the Arabs then and didn't want to participate. That's how they do it, to infiltrate in the culture. Learn the culture, come back, and then figure out how to destroy it. That's where the Muslim Brotherhood came from. Well, Lawrence of Arabia said, I'm just not going to do it. So they killed him on a motorcycle. What happened recently with Tony Palmer? Charismatic young preacher. Listen carefully now. A charismatic young preacher who enjoyed a friendship with the Pope Francis, has apparently died in a motorcycle accident. Not a Catholic, Palmer was bishop in the communion of the evangelical Episcopal churches. Episcopal churches. That was awkward. A group that broke away from the Anglican Baptist Church and considered itself part of the convergence movement. Yeah, I was getting to Palmer. Some of us are on the same frequency. Now, you say, well, okay, I know that, so what? Now I'm going to give you so what. See if you can tie this together. Watch this. Quote, the Illuminati's own textbook. And when it says Master Jesus, it's talking about Sananda. It's talking about the fallen angel Raziel. It's talking about the photos and pictures and drawings and the Da Vinci and all this of the Jesus we think is Jesus. That's Sananda Manuel, Yeshua. That's the one they call Master Jesus or the Christ. Okay, that being said, quote, the Master Jesus will take a physical vehicle and with certain of his cellas break. Cellas are at one time were children that's been possessed. A cella is like from young age, and they are like growing up avatars. They're like cellas are made from a physical birth, appropriation of a suitable vehicle or body, and it can either be a direct creation by act of will, and that's a rare time that they do that. So look up the word cella. For them, it's like a human that's being possessed, but from birth. Trained from birth. But they're fallen angels inside a baby, inside a body that grows, trained and taught. That's a cella. That's a simple explanation. I'm going to read it again. The Master Jesus will take a physical vehicle, that's a body, and with certain of his cellas, effect a re-spiritualization of the Catholic churches, breaking down, listen now, the barrier separating the Episcopal and Greek churches from the Roman. This may be looked for, should plans progress as hoped, about the year 1980. Unquote. This coincides with John Todd that said in one of his speeches that this was supposed to occur around 1980. What was happening in 1980? Operation Northwoods. Oliver North. Reagan. Giafrida. Beginning of FEMA. 1980s. Their plans didn't count. You know, God's, this is my point. God's in control. So here was a separation even back then of the Episcopal and Greek churches from the Roman. Now here you got an Episcopal minister, evangelical Episcopal churches, broke away from the church. He was supposed to bring them all together. And here I'm reading in the textbook, it goes back to 1977. Is this part of the re-spiritualization? So my question is, where did he screw up? Where did he make a mistake that ticked them off to where they're going to kill him? And did. People don't understand this. I've just given you a connection. Somewhere along the way, he had a change of mind or heart or something. Because his role was to bring together the Episcopal and Greek churches from the Roman, breaking down the barrier. Family, I'm reading you directly from a 1977 textbook of the Illuminati, Signs of Christ, by Herr Balyaz, page 412. Six of the masters, fallen angels, demons, quote, as yet quite unknown to the average occult student by name, have already sought physical incarnation. One's in India, another in England, two in Northern America, one in Central Europe, while another has made a great sacrifice and taken a Russian body in desire to act as a peace center in that distracted land. Certain initiates, fallen angels, and those that are, well, excuse me, certain initiates would be humans that have been initiated into the order. Certain initiates of the third initiation, as called, is a certain level of possession, have taken feminine bodies, Indira Gandhi. Aha! One in India will in due time do much toward the emancipation of the women in India. So you find out who did a lot to emancipate the women in India, and you've got yourself one of the bodies that the fallen angels took over. While another has peculiar work to do in connection with the animal kingdom, while likewise awaiting the day of his appearing. And the one called Master Hilarion, the one that works the North American continent, will come forth and become a focal point of Buddhic energy in this vast spiritualistic movement, while another master is working with a Christian Science endeavor in an effort to swing in into sounder lines. Oh, and it goes on. It tells you what they're doing in their textbook. They tell you. It's all right there. So what happened out there tells you. Somewhere or another, this Palmer made a boo-boo or backed down or backed off or did something they didn't like or was doing something they didn't like or failed to do something they wanted. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. People only knew. So, tonight, what do you do when people don't want to listen to you? Well, or they've been, because education has been our biggest enemy. Boy, that sounds crazy, don't it? Education is an enemy? Shouldn't be, but it is. The way it's been handled since 1908 and even before that. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast right now. And wow, what the time is flying. Something's going on with the clocks, man. I tell you what, the time is going by way too fast. It's almost supernatural. I don't know what's going on. Time is moving so quickly. From 1 hour to the next, it seems. One day to the next. But hour by hour, it doesn't seem like hours anymore. It seems like it's moving fast, like water down a drain. It's like, doesn't it seem like that way? Let's get going here. Lord, thank you tonight for us being able to come together once again in a Bible study. Father, lead us tonight in Scripture, your wisdom, discernment. Guide us, Father. Help our families to spread the blood of Jesus around us to guide us along, to protect us from outside influences. Father, to look over our families, touch their hearts, to give them the eyes open, the ears to hear, eyes to see, and the courage to stand up for what they believe and to seek the truth. Father, we pray for our future, to guide us, to show us the wisdom with discernment, to show us the end times events, Lord, to give us an idea of what we can do, of what you want us to do, for thy will be done, not our own. We pray for healings in our family. And Father, to an awakening, I think of this more often than ever, is an awakening of the closed minds to be open to the truth. And Father, to keep us humble, to keep us guided, that we can tell the truth, that we can know the truth, that we can have the courage to speak out to others about the truth. And Father, to write upon our hearts the scriptures, the times we need the words to speak or the principles laid in the scripture, that Father, they'll come out of our mouth when we're needed to say them. These things we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from this evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Praying on the breastplate of righteousness. Pray on the belt of truth. Pray on the gospel shoes of peace. Pray the shield of faith into your hand. Pray on the helmet of salvation. Protect your mind. So we talked about the past couple days. Pray on the helmet of salvation. Protect our minds from the thoughts that can lead us astray. When those thoughts have been ingrained to us for 12 years plus, if you went to college to, and then life and drama and crisis. You take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all kinds of prayers, supplication, intercession. Because Jesus Christ fights our battles. In a spiritual way. But a lot of preachers today, they're in the Christian identity movement and other places. Think of it in a physical way. You got some that preach hate and venom of homosexuals. We got to hate those people and kill them all, blah, 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 blah. Westboro Baptist Church, Stephen Anderson, somebody keeps going. They work for the Illuminati in one way or another. Because they are looked up as examples of how you are, and then you see the back and forth. You see, so what you say and they say, they see you as hating other people. They want, this is what their purpose is. This is their purpose. And so they'll set up legislation against speaking against homosexuals, because you got these. It's not against them, it's for them. But they make it look like, you see, that you're speaking against them. No, you're speaking against the sin. Well, they put them on the side of Christians and ordain them as priests and ministers and evangelicals to do these weird things and do these off-the-wall hellfire and brimstone. Damnation, kill them, eat them, carry a Bible and a gun in one hand. What? Oh, come on. Oh, geez. TV. That's how they've got us thinking in education. That's how Satan does it. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, how that goes. So. Do you have a sword that's sharp? Are the swords you have in your sheath, or do you have a, or do you have a sword that's dull, chipped, broken, bent, whatever? Do you have the inerrant word of God in your hands today? Have someone tell me today. Now, I have to admit, I'm sometimes can be a little tricky. I'll tell you off the get-go. I don't mind doing it because, you know, I can be a little tricky sometimes. I have to tell you. And I do some ministry, I guess you could call it, on the Facebook and YouTube and so forth. And I'll throw out a hook. Sometimes it's a truth hook. It's truth, whatever comment I make, but just to see where somebody's at, I'll throw out a trout line. And what I get a lot is, oh, I love the King James. Oh, yeah, I like it. I really like it. But it's got its problems. Or I like it, but, you know, there's other versions that are just as good. Or we found older versions, but I really like the King James Bible. But there are others that are better. You got to learn to speak Hebrew and Greek. All kinds of stuff. Come on, excuses. But when you pin them down, the smart ones, when you say, okay, I'll go with it, what Bible should I be reading then? What book do you recommend? Now, the smart ones won't answer that question. They'll just go in circles around it and then start going back at you with something. They'll never answer that question. Because they know they're going to be pinned down when they do. And they can't take a chance that you don't know what you're talking about, because if you do know what you're talking about and they say, well, the Bible, and they'll name one or two, they're taking a chance that you don't know what you're talking about, so you can't answer back. And you say, oh, okay. Well, they don't know that. So they don't know that you might come back and say, well, I got you, because, and you'll start telling them the Jewish Bible and what it's from. You'll tell them the NIV, where it came from, and they're in a hurt locker. You see, because now you nailed them. So a lot of them won't answer the question. Well, one of them did, like this afternoon. Answered the question. He said to me, okay, if you insist on carrying on the conversation, I will. I said, oh, goody, goody. He kept on talking. He said, he wrote, you keep asking me to give you a perfect Bible in English. And this is the reality of it. There is none. Gotcha. These people, I don't understand them. Anyway, they all are translations from other languages, and you just cannot perfectly retranslate from those three languages into English. So I don't even think, well, there's actually five, but anyway. So I don't even think the King James Bible is a perfect transition, but I think it conveys the message of God. However, if you read a King James side by side with another translation, for the most part, they will convey the same message. Yeah, that's what he wrote. The fact of the matter is a lot of people can't understand the King James Bible. Yes, because they aren't in touch with the Holy Spirit, or they're too impatient. Anyway, and I think it's absolutely insane to think that our English translation is the only one and all other people should be forced to learn English. I understand you wanting to have the Word of God perfectly written for you. This guy exposes everything. That's what led me to the King James only-ism. But one day, I was reading the Good News translation, one of the most perverse translations out there. John 1:1 changes the Word of God to the Word was exactly like God, whatever. And I asked the Lord, how am I supposed to read this translation? Now, here we get to it. He said, he wrote, I got it written down here. I need to copy paste this. He wrote that God told him this, quote, he, which is God. He spoke to me and said, quote, this is what God says to him, somehow. The same way you read any translation with the Spirit. If the Word is written on the tables of your heart, you can read any translation and chew the meat and spit out the bones, unquote. That's what God told him. That's what God told him. He continues his speaking. I don't believe the Word is simply exactly like God. I believe Jesus Christ is God. I don't think either one of us will be moved on this matter. Whew. You see where they're going with this? And I kind of just lit into him, you know, and I gave him all kinds of links, and it just goes all the way down. But what I said, it was all good, sort of. Anyway, don't need what I said. You can read it if you want. Go on my whatever. And then he had to pick up the pace a little later, and that's what happened. You see, and the point of me reading you this was to show you what people are thinking, what they're coming up with. And then they start backtracking when you catch them on things. And So, you know, you don't know sometimes if it's really them or if it's how they've been taught. That they're so stuck on it that they just won't see anything else. Ooh. So do we have the inerrant word of God? No, I'm not going to play the Jeopardy theme. Do we have the inerrant word of God? Yes, we do. Just don't believe it when somebody tells you the word of God is found only in the originals. Nobody has them in the first place. Jesus made a promise, and we know he cannot lie. He made a promise. God don't lie. And those that's trying to refute the truth, they'll never give the exact answer, except this guy did. I can't believe he did that. That was perfect. I have something I can use now for the future. It's terrible. It's actually sad, but you just don't know if they're Jesuits or from secret societies or what. But you can be assured they are deceived because they go against God's word, that his promises that he would preserve our word for us. There's a dialogue that I've read too before. Where a professor said, when you graduate, you will preach from the King James Version of the Bible because so many of the laymen believe it's the Word of God. And he told them to agree with him. Just tell them it's the Word of God, but we know better only original transcripts are the Word of God, and alas, they're long since gone. You see, the lay people wouldn't understand it. Then they were asked, which Bible is the Word of God? And he got the answer, actually, none of them. The Word of God was found only in the original transcripts and manuscripts, and they've been long since lost. That's what they tell them in school. Colleges. And what's going to happen is once it's made public, and apparently recently the Vatican's doing that now, that they've manipulated the Bibles. They're admitting it because they want this separation and to bring everybody together. So this Palmer may have saw to it that he want to do that. See where the connection is coming in? So do you have the inerrant word of God? Yes. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You got a lot of Bible college students and professors and pastors and teachers and lay people talk about that we believe in inerrancy of the scriptures found in the originals. Nobody has originals. They're saying that we don't have God's word today, which directly contradicts what Jesus said in Matthew 24:35. So when they leave Bible college, their faith is shattered, as planned. Satan said, yea, hath God said, Genesis 3, verse 1. Satan questioned Eve about God's word, didn't he? You know the results of her listening to him? Well, that's what's happening today. Every college, every university, literally. Now, regular listeners, I'm assuming you're here tonight. You've heard me say many times in many quotes that every school, as quoted by Charles Francis Potter, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that was Georgia Ann Geyer, yes. And Roger Kimball, I got the names all memorized by now. confirmed the Marxist socialism preachment of every college and university in their curriculum, and even have a Marxist scholar in every college to monitor it. I mean, they make sure. Rockefeller gave $20 million to Harvard. He gives ever so often. I'd say that's pretty much a major donator, huh? I imagine he had a lot to say about what to be taught, huh? Satan questioned Eve about God's word. We know the results of her listening to him. And it wasn't sex they had in the Garden of Eden like Christianity or the serpent seed doctrine lays out. That's a bunch of baloney. They say, well, the Greek doesn't really say that, thinking you're not going to understand Greek. Or the authorized King James did not say that properly. They mistranslated it. Or they'll say the authorized King James is just hard to read and outdated. Now, they go on with that one. They say, well, we found older versions that we need to update the King James because older versions, older manuscripts are more accurate. No, it's the source of the document, not the age. The source. The authorized King James is hard to read and outdated. I just can't understand the these and thous. Well, get you a darn index card and write down thee and thou and whatever else word you don't understand and use it. That's the most lame excuse I've ever heard in my life. As a matter of fact, I've got a small teaching on why the these and thous are necessary. They're there for a purpose, not just old language. Or they'll say, you need to go to Bible college and take some Hebrew classes so you'll be better understand the Bible. I've had a preacher tell me that. I said, what? Can 7 billion people do that in their lives? And then, like, this one person, I read you that response. You mean everybody's got to speak English? And I wrote back, pretty much, yeah. Except for the missionaries that goes out with translators. Because English is the only universal language. If the Jews, Hebrew Jews, had did their job and continued on with the 12 tribes to expand, we'd be speaking Hebrew. Hebrew would be the major language of today. Now you got it, you see? But in fact, the English language is the universal language made up of every other language. And number two, I was a member, an employee of sort, contracted, with the OSCE over in Kosovo. So I was in a sister organization with the UN. Family. If you did not speak a fluent English, from no matter what country you come from, it don't matter. If you're going to be an employee of UN or OSCE, international organization, before you got a job, you had to have a fluent working knowledge of English, or you would not get a job, no matter how good you were. Had to be English that you were fluent in, no matter what country, what language you spoke as home language. People don't know. God knew. He influenced it. Went to Hebrew to where? Greek. Greek to what? English. English is accepted language. There's no going to school to translate the Bible. It's already been translated by 47 perfectly educated scholars. I mean, real scholars, not what they got today. These were real men of God in 47 of them in 1604 to 1611. The best teacher in the world, though, in the universe, is the Holy Ghost. He'll tell you what it is. Every time you read it, you get something different out of it. He also got the Word of God, the authorized King James Bible. And you'll never get an increased understanding from a preacher explaining of the Greek. The forceful, unabated, irreverent attack on the authorized King James Bible that served us for over 400 years as a result of liberalism gone crazy. We've got some false prophet tries to run away with what you know. And when it happens, you need to say, get thee hence, Satan, for thou desirest not the things be of God, but those that be of men. So, y'all are going to have to get down to business. I went to college. I had somebody say, well, I got a graduate degree. And I said, totally recently, the past couple of days. You just don't understand. I've been through graduate school, and I'm who cares? I said, man, you were graduate school. You must have went to sleep in classes. I took a course in Greek and Hebrew, and I happened to know, blah, 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 blah. Okay. But the Greek and Hebrew is the same thing as the Vatican saying, well, you don't know Latin, so we'll read it for you. It's like the big bad wolf giving directions, reading the directions out for the three little pigs to go. You see, understand, no, I won't read it myself. That's what the Grand Deluders Act of 1647 was all about. The old Deluders Act, 1647, as the beginning of education, so people could read the Bible on their own. What's the idea? Is to be out on the street witnessing and seeing souls saved. He that winneth souls is wise. Living holy, not watching Satan's TV and movies. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Keeping the Lord's commandments. Stop saying, I just don't measure up. Whosoever loveth me keepeth my commandments. Teaching our kids about Jesus and stop giving them video games to keep them quiet. And ye fathers, bring children up in the nurture and admonishment of the Lord. The video games, literally, has reduced, physically, their peripheral vision to the size of a screen. I mean, horribly. On their everyday walk from point to point. Because they're, you understand what I mean? So you got the screen in front of you, you're playing 6 hours, 3 hours, whatever on video games. Always, come, bump, 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 bump. Like playing solitaire. What doesn't matter. Computer got you down. Right to the size of the screen. So when you're going about your daily routine, it's like you're a mule with the blinders on when you're walking around. And this is a fact. I saw this happen to a relative of mine. Walked into the house, walked into this porch. This is a smart young man, too. Full ride to a college. For 4 years. They paid the entire everything. And I said to the person, I said, did you see my outside furniture on my porch? What furniture? I said, what? The porch is small. The porch is like maybe 12 feet by 12 feet, you understand? Or 12 by 15 or something. We're talking not a small porch. Don't matter. I said, the table and the chairs out there in the lawn and the porch. I didn't see that. I said, walk outside. I said, look here in this corner. You see that? And I reached over and just touched it. Family didn't even see the table and the chairs. I said, now let's go outside. Go back to the carport. Go back to the driveway. Now let's do this 5 times. Walk to me. And I want you to see. Now look left and right. This is terrible. I mean, this is significant. It's what the video games have done. Besides psychologically. Traumatizing them, and they don't even realize it. Family, it's called possession. Ouch. Parents don't understand this. And you got your, I've seen it when I go to a restaurant. You see the little kids, 7, 8, 9, 10. They come in with their family. There's a mother, the father, the grandmother, the grandfather, two little siblings, whatever. And you see them. Little child, 5, got a little, one of those, whatever fancy new computers they got. The 7-year-old boy got a bigger one. He carries and looks down. That's all they're doing. No talking to the family. No. They're sitting there punching this, punching that, doing this, doing that, playing their game, watching, listening. And they're like 5 to 10 years old. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. Physical and psychological manipulation beyond imagination. Praying for our pastors and families and enemies and strangers, acquaintances, friends, co-workers, and government. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Wives, learn to submit to your husbands, as a church is subject to Christ. Let the wife be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, learn to love your wives as you love yourself. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. See, they stop right there with Paul and say, Paul just don't like women. Well, keep on reading. They don't like keep on reading. I've been at fault most of my life, I can tell you. I'm not innocent by no stretch of imagination. Sometimes the things I talk about and teach about is I put myself under conviction, but I have to say it anyway. I'm as guilty as anybody. I've been married more than one time in a very short time. I was rambunctious as you can only imagine. I won't go there tonight. I have talked about it before, but I'm not ashamed of it. I'm ashamed of what I did, but I don't pine over it because I was forgiven. Satan keeps reminding me of it, but I say, you get the hints, get out of here. He's given me opportunities to make amends too, by the way. I thought was amazing. Amazing how God works. There's plenty more that we can do, but as you can see, we have pressing businesses. Are the originals important to God? Well, all this talk about originals, just take the time to see what God thinks. When you look at Jeremiah 26, 23, God in 32, God had Jeremiah to write down his words. What happened then? The originals were destroyed and Jeremiah rewrote them. If the originals were that important to God, he wouldn't have let them be destroyed. There's not an emphasis on the originals that God doesn't place there. What happened to Moses? God wrote the original Ten Commandments with his finger. Supernaturally. Can you imagine the quantum physics to do that? If the Bible said, and it would normally say, right, if men wrote it, that Moses carved out the Ten Commandments as he was given to by God. That would be normal, right? I mean, how else would he have got the stone? Well, Moses would have carved it. Stone, man, chisel, hammer. Or it said he'd have wrote it down on animal skins. When he did write down animal skins, the 613 instructions of the law, Leviticus law, yeah. But why didn't they say that for the Ten Commandments? Why did it say that God wrote it down with his finger? Because God wrote it down with his finger. And how did God, Almighty God, write down in stone his word? Well, he carved it with his finger. He could manipulate it. If he created the stone, doggone it, he could write in it. Can you imagine? How did he do that? I don't know. Lightning or energy ball or something? I don't know how he did it, but that's God's business. He just says he did it. That's all I need to know. Well, Moses came down, saw them all hanky-panky, following around. I said following, follow, follow. Folly, follying around. And boy, that ticked him off. And he broke the originals. Gone. Went back up there and said, God, I broke the originals. God said, I'll make you a copy. He made the second set of. So originals. That's a little detail there, I guess. So what we're talking about is important. Someone once commented that arguing about an unimportant point, that's untrue. New Testament's full of warnings about Satan and false prophets trying to deceive us. And boy, I tell you, lately, that's an understatement of the year, of the century, of the millenniums. Are they ever? Are there warnings given to us in vain? No, because it's happening. How about the Berean Christians? And check out everything that comes our way in the light of the Word of God, comparing the spiritual things with spiritual. Render to Caesar that which is Caesar. That's all physical stuff. Caesar, you want it? To take the darn thing, because you're not going to have it long anyway. Render to God that which is God. And what is that? Spiritual things. It's all spiritual. Give to God that doesn't perish. The Bible says, we're in a war. On my broadcast, I've been saying strange things like, when you were born, you landed in a hot LZ. And people, when I first started saying that, I didn't realize that people didn't know what the heck I was talking about. I had people write on chat several years ago. I saw it. I said, what's an LZ? And why is it hot? If I said marshmallows, that'd been something else. But hot LZ is a hot landing zone. What does that mean? When you're a Marine and you're coming into a helicopter, you're going to jump out, start killing and shooting. And you're in an LZ that's being attacked. And when you land, you got bullets coming in the helicopters or whatever else. That's called a hot LZ, hot landing zone. Well, when you're born in enemy territory immediately. Satan is prince of this world. Everything. I mean, you probably landing into a doctor who's a Freemason or a nurse that's a Wicca or Eastern Star. I don't mean to be facetious, but I'm not. I'm serious. You may have a good doctor. I don't know. Maybe along the way, teachers were Wicca. Teachers were Satanists. Or teachers were, you don't know. You don't know. Because they do control the education. You'll never know until it's the main manifest before you. The education system is set up under Satan, under a specific agenda. I have this listed. I have this knowledge through a textbook in the Illuminati textbook. They talk about education as a major control point. I've talked about that even today and yesterday, how important it is for them to control the education, control the medical, the science, everything, for now. If you don't find yourself standing and fighting for the things of God, you better re-examine your walk. Can you see how our faith would be all messed up if Satan would change the Bible to say whatever he wants to say? And he has with the other versions. Except for the King James. Why not the King James? Because that's the Word of God he can't touch. Now, they got counterfeit King James since 2013. Since the year 2000 also. Certain versions, there's a check for it that you can give a litmus test. Whether the word spirit is capitalized with little S or big S. Big S is the Holy Spirit. And little S is like our souls, our spirits, or satanic spirits is little S. The big S, the capital S, is Holy Spirit. Well, some of them don't have the Holy Spirit in capital S. So can you see how these different versions are desensitizing even true Christians to manipulate God's word? Well, one quote by a man who sat on the NASB translating committee, he lamented that he'd ever had anything to do with messing up the Word of God. He tells people that Satan is behind all new versions. Now, the Catholic Church is coming out to confirm it. Since 1965, they're telling us now. Don't you find that odd? That they would admit it? No, it's not odd when they want to try to destroy it. Because they are part of the New World Order. It's all coming exactly. It's all coming out. Let's put it like that. So is there a perfect Bible? Yeah, darn gone right there is. And do you have the inerrant word of God today? You're doggone right you do. It's called the King James Bible. They could deny it. They'll never prove otherwise, because the proof is in the Bible itself. There's hundreds of English Bibles, 300 some odd really, plus. There's about 50 English Bible translations. That's if you don't count the revisions associated with them. The list is just, they got Teenage Bibles, they got Duck Dynasty. Now there's the one exposed. Duck Dynasty is going to write his own Bible. Ellen G. White wrote her own Bible. Thomas Jefferson wrote his own Bible. That exposes them right there. The Bible says it is inspired word by God. All scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good things, good works. So they say, well, when you start exposing preachers and all those false teachers, you shouldn't judge. Who do you think you are? Well, I'm not judging. I'm not judging moral behavior. Can't do that. But what you can do is you can reprove, correct incorrect doctrines being spit out. The Bible says it comes from the Holy Spirit, not from man. 2 Peter 1:20-21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, unquote. You can't get more exact than that. The Bible says it's pure. Proverbs 30:5-6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Whoa. Boy. I shan't to read, as many of y'all have probably already read, Revelation 22:18-19. They keep forgetting that, I guess. And they also keep forgetting Proverbs 30:5-6. Well, the book of Revelation is only talking about the book of Revelation. It's not talking about the Bible. Really? Well, show them Proverbs 30:5-6 and let them talk about it then. That covers both Old and New Testament. Ha! Any questions? Imperfect man? Even evil men? Couldn't they intentionally take God's word and mess it up? So is God at the mercy of sinful men? Did God not figure out that they were not going to try to corrupt his word? Well, the answer to that question is the story of the Bible itself. The story of the Bible is that in spite of sin, God's in control. The Bible story is that in spite of the devil, God reconciles everything to himself. Colossians 1:19-20. For it pleased the Father that in him, Christ, should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him, to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Notice every time they skip over the second heaven, because that's where the fallen angels reside. They always say heaven and earth, but never about the universe. Now think with me here now. In the Lord's Prayer, in earth or in heaven, what happened to the universe? No mention of the universe there. The universe is second heaven. where the fallen angels reside. Because they can. Because they're supernatural. But flesh cannot. Somebody better tell those elite when they start going off in rockets out there to Mars, that big bubble they got in Mars. They won't get past Van Allen Belt before they'll cook like a goose. That's what the Van Allen Belt's all about, to keep you safe from the radiation. Because you're physical. Only thing you reside out in space is supernatural. That's why they say in the Iron Mount Report, a space research program aimed at unreachable targets. Because they can't go out there. That's why they stopped the program. They went so far just to convince the public that space travel was possible. Then they said, okay, we need to cut it now. So they kill off and sacrifice astronauts. They make things happen that we have to quit, have a reason to stop. Because they couldn't go no further. People aren't connecting the dots. Going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. A lot of unhappy elite. There's a movie out there. If I can find it right quick. That really is good. It talks about the history of the Bible. I don't always have things queued up for me to see because I just talk off the top of my head a lot of times. Then other times I find stuff I can pass on to you by experts and theologians, and I just bring it all together one way or another. I improvise every broadcast and every Bible study. I'm doing improvisation the whole time. Sometimes I don't even know what I'm going to talk about until I get started. I mean, I really don't. This is every time. Some of the people that know me, they witnessed this, and so have I. Tom, what did you talk about? I said, I don't have a clue. Let me call somebody that listened. And that's just how it boils down. I literally let the Holy Spirit lead me in what to grab, what to talk about, what to pull up, what to speak about as I go along. A lamp in the dark. A lamp in the dark, untold history of the Bible. So, the answer is the Bible itself. And you know, the story of reconciliation, it plays out concerning the destiny of mankind. Men sin, but God reconciles them through who? Christ. Jesus Christ. The story of reconciliation plays out concerning the Bible also. Men attempt to destroy it, but God preserves it in history. Did you know that the perfect Bible has been preserved in history? And this is not a trick question. Which Bible is it? King James Bible. All Bibles are based on one or two manuscripts. The manuscripts originate from Antioch, Syria, and the manuscripts originate from Alexandria, Egypt. That's it. Every Bible ever written in the history of mankind. All 300 and some odd over here. And over there on the other side is the King James Bible. That's it. And the manuscripts from all those on this side over here with the 300 plus, all of them originated from Alexandria, Egypt. Origin. And the one over here on the left, that one by itself, originated strictly from Antioch, Syria. Antioch was the first place where the disciples were called Christians. Not Christianity. No. Christians are not about Christianity. Whew, what a radical thing to say. Constantine created Christianity. Constantine was a pagan. Christianity gave birth to the Roman Catholic Church, and every sect that you can imagine. And from there, it just blossomed out to whatever. Acts 11:26. And it came to pass that the whole year that they assembled themselves with the church and taught with much people, and disciples called Christians first in Antioch. So all the manuscripts of the early church fathers ended up in Antioch. Both the Old and New Testaments were collected there. The Old Testament has long been canonized, and Jesus refers to it. It's Luke 24:44. And Jesus said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me." Unquote. The law of Moses, with the 613 instructions, summarized by the Ten Commandments, summarized by the two additional commandments God gave, Jesus Christ gave when he came here. Love each and every one, and love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul, and treat everyone as if you would treat yourself, basically. That sums up the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments sums up the 613 instructions of Levitical law. More specifically, Jesus refers to the law, prophets, and Psalms. These three categories make up the whole of the Old Testament. The law is the Torah, Genesis to Deuteronomy, and history books, Joshua and Esther. The prophets, major prophets, there's 5 books. Minor prophets are 12 books. The Psalms are wisdom literature, the writings of Job to Ecclesiastes. 39 books in all, written in Hebrew. So, history refers to these manuscripts, these three types, as what's called the Masoretic texts. And so the Antioch Christians used the Masoretic texts. The King James translators, guess what they used? Masoretic texts. They didn't use the Douay Rheims, didn't use that junk Septuagint or that junky Apocrypha. However, later they, two Jesuits insisted in 1610, to include the Apocrypha history in the middle of the two testaments, which is removed in 1800s. They realized this is not inspired by God, just take it out. They just pulled it out of the middle. That's it, chunked it. Vatican Church has it still in theirs. The Antioch Christians also collected and gathered the letters and books of the New Testament. There was 27 of them, all written in Greek. 66 books make up the Antioch manuscripts, and they were the true words of God. Now, 317 miles to southwest of Jerusalem was Alexandria, Egypt. Egypt. Pharaoh's Egypt. Alexandria had scholars and philosophers, just like the kind the Apostle Paul encountered throughout his visits in Athens. Acts 17:16-18. And these so-called, sound familiar, intellectuals had a school of philosophy in Alexandria. So the chief among them was, you got it, Origen. He got his hands on a Bible from Antioch. He didn't like God's word, found it in Antioch. So he believed the Bible. He's like the first Jehovah Witness. Ding, ding, ding. Needed to be interpreted allegorically to reveal its hidden meaning. This Bible code, Torah code, that's junk. How many of y'all can read Hebrew? How many of y'all can read Greek? It's Greek to me. How many of y'all can read the Torah code? How many can read the Bible code? How many can read Latin? You see how they what they've done? Sneaky, huh? Origen didn't believe in the words of God. He didn't believe in the Old Testament miracles. He didn't believe in the words, the stories of Jesus. didn't believe in the Holy Spirit was eternal. He didn't believe that Jesus Christ was Almighty God. So he made up his own Greek Bible. He took the Hebrew manuscript from Antioch, added the Apocrypha, which are folk tales, translated them all into Greek, and he called it the Septuagint. And they tell them, this is serious, they tell them in Harvard and other biblical colleges that the Septuagint was created in 285 B.C. 285 before Christ. And here you got in the 3rd century A.D., 300 years after Christ was born, died, resurrected, 300 years after, give or take, no, 200 years after, you got old Origen and the Septuagint. That's serious. Then he added to it his own perverted Greek New Testament. Then comes the Apocrypha. He dressed up the Alexandria Bible. He inserted the New Testament verses into the Old Testament and had to look like the apostles, and Jesus quoted the Old Testament. They made his book ancient and gave it authority. But the original Greek and Hebrew manuscripts were always available in Antioch through the 2nd century. They also went to other countries. And the Waldensians and the Vaudois took them to the Alps, as I've told many times, preserved them in Latin. So in 120 A.D., some of the Vaudois became Christians and visited Antioch. They returned home. They took copies of the Antioch manuscripts, translated them into Latin, and that's known as the Old, it's important, Old Latin Vulgate. That's not to be confused with the later Roman Catholic Latin Vulgate. Different. Then here comes Erasmus, latter part of 15th century. Erasmus used the Waldensians' Latin translation to create a Greek-Latin parallel Bible in 16th century, 1516. His Bible was received by Christians as the true text, called the Textus Receptus. Erasmus inspired Martin Luther, but Martin Luther was a Jesuit. That's another story. I'm going to stop there. Erasmus was put in jail. Wycliffe was burned and killed. He was taken out. So was Tyndale, man. They killed all three, but Martin Luther wasn't. I find that real odd. John Calvin wasn't. I find that odd, too. Erasmus, Tyndale, and Wycliffe really ticked off the Vatican Church. Now, I could keep going, but you got an idea of where the Bible came from. When you're getting ready to witness to somebody, and their spirit says, I don't want to do that, they come up with all kinds of excuses. I know I did. Most unsaved people think that a person who becomes a Christian by being baptized, joining a church, or by doing good deeds, these things are good, but they don't save anybody. They're as a result of the fruit of the Spirit. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9. So what are some objections? Some people say, well, look, I'm not a great sinner. You know, I don't do so bad. Well, answer is Romans 3:23. God says that we all are sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's how David Wilkerson won over some of the street gangs in New York back in the day. God brought him to them. He gave them courage, got them curious. He wrote a book, David Wilkerson did. You ever told a lie in your life? Yeah, so what, man? Well, you're a liar. You ever stole anything at all? Yeah, I did, and you're a thief. All has sinned. We all have. Let me tell you, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Catholic. Church membership has nothing to do with it. You must be born again, Jesus said. John 3, verse 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There it is, directly right out. Man, I don't like going to church. Wow, there's so many hypocrites there. I quit going, man. I don't like it. Yeah, they are, but there will be no hypocrites in heaven. Or cavities. You'll not be judged by what someone else did, but by your own life. Romans 14, verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. People think they're going to die first before they're judged. They'll escape judgment. I got news for them. Every human being that's ever lived will be a wheat or a tare. They'll be rewarded or they'll be pulled out of hell if they're dead and unsaved. Just long enough for judgment to see what they've done and right back they go. That's a great white throne judgment. It don't matter whether your heads are cut off. It don't matter whether you've been cremated. Don't matter whether you've been in the ocean. Don't matter whether you, whatever you are. Don't matter. God's got accountability of every human being that's ever lived. They'll be judged according to whether or not they're wheat or tares. And then by their works, they'll be judged. But that's after. Man, I don't want to do it. I'd have to give up too much. Man, you all just pine around and you don't enjoy life. I got a bucket list, man. I'd be giving up all the things I want to do. Well, answer is, if you're not willing to give up your sins, you will be lost forever. Is your worth this? Is it? Because Mark 8:36, for what it shall profit, that was awkward. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Everything we do rots, rust, consumed, lost, or forgotten. Everything. Do they care that a offensive lineman, when he was in ninth grade, ran a 66-yard touchdown as a fullback? Do they care? No. Do they care you played in the high school state championship game? No. Do they care whether you climb Mount Everest? No. Do they care when you're old and this used to be your famous, your most favorite pen? They're going to say, what old pen is this? I don't know. It's something he had. I don't know. Just, it does to you, but you're dead. Or you're too old to remember. Or something. Everything physical goes away. But things you lay up in heaven is already there and it's permanent and it'll never go away. That's, preachers don't preach about the millennium. You ever notice that? Well, I imagine there's some out there that do, but the majority do not. They don't talk about hell. They don't talk about inheritance. How to really be saved. How to spiritual warfare. Oh, it's coming. Because they're told not to. Not because they don't know to, because they're told not to. Well, you know, I'd like to do it, but you know, I'm kind of waiting around till I become better. I'm working on it. Well, you can't make yourself better. The Lord Jesus tells us to come in Him, to Him, just as we are. He promises to receive us. He said, John 6:37, Him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. Forgive me if I make a generalized statement here, but sometimes women, and sometimes men, but women caretakers have this mother syndrome thing going on, you know. I'm going to change this man. I'll make him better than what he is. No, you're not. Only the Holy Spirit will. Now, if you can facilitate that by sanctification, well, there you go. But you ain't going to change him. Not at all. All that's going to happen is going to result and pull you down. You're not going to change them. Pray for them, yeah. Sanctify them, maybe. But you got to have a lot of patience to be ready for something to happen. But you individually are not going to change them. Or her, or whatever. I'm just afraid I can't live the Christian life like I should. Well, no one can until Christ comes to live in him. He enables us to live in the Christian life. And Apostle Paul, a real apostle. Man, you don't have apostles today. Nobody met Jesus on the path anywhere. Paul and John of Patmos were the last ones to see him supernaturally. That's it, man. I talked about that today, I think, about people saying, well, he came to sit with me in my bedroom and he rode with me in my car. So I hear that. People that's on the international level have this thing with God. Jesus come to visit them. That makes them apostles, right? And yet they don't use the King James Bible and they talk about corrupted versions of the Bible. Then God's going to know that and he's not going to be there with them. Oh, man. But Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Oh, don't you hear? Man, I can't do that. I'm too much sinner, man. God ain't going to take me. I'm too much of a sinner, as you call it. Well, Jesus came to save the sinners. He'll save anybody who comes to him. Apostle Paul again said in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Or they might say, look, man, I'm doing the best I can. Come on, get off my back, will you? I'm doing the best I can. Well, we're not saved by our own good works, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 8 verse 9. 8-9. Let me say that again. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You ever heard that before? How about that? You can look it up after tonight on YouTube about response of a Shriner who says he's Lucifer, Shriner plus Lucifer. And when he starts being approached by this Christian, it's off the street. And he says, who am I? I am Lucifer. He said, you're Lucifer. He said, yes, I'm Lucifer. Wholesome, loving, caring about people. He goes through the dialogue with this, and he's going into a building. He says, but look, don't you, look at the hospitals look at the hospitals I've been to. Look at the money I gave. It's all about good works. They think by good works they're going to get to heaven. It's not going to happen. You know, I think one way is as good as another, as long as you're sincere about it. Sound like Oprah, don't it? Answer is, you may be sincere, but you may be sincerely wrong, too. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And it's talking about spiritual death. And Jesus is the Savior, the only Savior. We cannot come to God except by him. And Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. And then they say, and this is one of the most tragic. Yeah, but maybe later. I've heard this mentioned in the past couple of days in a church I went to. Preaches the King James Bible. And they were telling about a story about someone said that, I'll do it later. and they died that night. You've heard this story before, probably more than once. Was that person saved? They said maybe later, probably wasn't. It's dangerous to put off an important matter like this. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Man, I just don't want to give up my sins. I'm having too much fun. Then you will be lost forever, Jesus says. Luke 13:5, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And if you don't know what sins you're doing, you don't know what to repent from. That's where the clergy is failing in their job. And you know, you hear most common, one of the most common ones, man, I don't believe in hell thing. That's so negative. I don't believe in hell. Doesn't change the fact of hell exists. The Bible says, Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in a lake which burns with fire and brimstone. That's why they want to have you believe in annihilation as a theology. We come to the end tonight, on this Tuesday night, 7:30 to 9, about 9 o'clock. But you can win souls, overcome your fears. Trust that God will give you the words to speak. Sometimes He'll give you opportunities and you'll feel that conviction that you didn't take it to witness to somebody. He'll set you aside somebody in a bus stand or in somewhere you'll bump into somebody and something will happen. That's what divine appointments are all about. People all around you need to be saved. You pray for them. You watch for the opportunity to witness to them. Learn the four basic truths of the gospel. I haven't covered that tonight. The fact of sin, penalty of sin. Christ paid that penalty, and you must receive Christ. To show them the fact there is sin, what the penalty of sin really is, Christ paid that penalty for you, then you must receive Christ. Learn how to answer objections, write them down. Be ready, and God will use you. And don't be afraid of making a mistake. Opportunity is going to open up its door in due time. Family, let y'all know, we're played up in highpointradio.net, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, at his network. He has a couple of towers there. He plays our broadcast and Bible studies. My website, watchmanforjesus.com, and my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. Tomorrow, 4 o'clock to 6, we're going to continue on with mind control and the population control and the Nephilim, and all this is all connected tomorrow. More detail, actually, because they're going to turn up the heat. So, the close of prayer, and there you go. Lord, thank you tonight for bringing us together. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to have a Bible study. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you, Lord, to lead us, for thy will be done, not our own, to show us the path, how to answer questions, how to answer our own questions, Lord. We pray for our family members that you need to touch with your Holy Spirit to guide them in the right path. Father, keep us strong in your hand to not be released. We pray for other Bible studies. We pray for our brethren. We'll have their eyes opened. Pray for their souls. We pray for wisdom, discernment. Father, we'll see through the deception that's coming our way. And all these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, family, ends tonight. And tomorrow, 4 o'clock. We'll continue on with broadcasting. And I appreciate y'all visiting. So we shall continue. So y'all have a great night, and God bless. And know it's about who you are. He's the one that saved us. But you're important to him. So have a good night. We'll see you tomorrow.
I know that look you're giving, like you got something to prove. 'Cause I have walked for miles and miles in that same pair of shoes. You refuse forgiveness, like it's something to be earned. Sometimes pain's the only way that we can learn. You can never fall too high, so fast, so far that you can't get back. When you're lost where you was, never too late. So bad, so much that you can't change. You can never fall.